Welcome to the show. My name is Jocelyn Lancaster, and today I am here with Maddie Montgomery, who is the founder of Awakening Evangelism and the former vocalist of For Today and all-around wonderful guy. You've probably heard him on our show before, but welcome today, Maddie.
Hey, thank you so much, Jocelyn. I'm glad to be back.
We are excited to have you here because we're talking about a very important event coming off the heels of the Send, which is the Altar Conference. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it is a two-day, really just a gathering out on the West Coast in Central California, in Fresno, California, in the Save Mart Center Arena on the campus of Fresno State University on April 5th and 6th. And so we are really having people from all around the West Coast of the United States, even people flying in from as far as Australia, all over America, to come together to stand really as a family and to declare from right in the middle of one of the most liberal states in the country, in California, to declare that Jesus is Lord in our nation. He's Lord in California. He's Lord in our generation. And to really just encounter him, to exalt him in the place of worship, and to show the world what a unified church can really look like.
Amen. Now, I know a big focus of this conference is worship. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, the ministry that I lead is called Awakening Evangelism. And I have been doing this for years now. And I love evangelism training. I love equipping the body of Christ to share the gospel in every arena. But one of the things I've been teaching for the last several years is that evangelism is what happens when worship breaks out of the secret place.
Preach.
And I think that so often we think, you know, we go to worship at church and then we stop worshiping and we leave and we go out into the streets to do evangelism. But the truth is, you know, when I'm worshiping God, I say, God, you're beautiful and you're faithful and you're good. And then when I'm out in the street and somebody asks me what's happening in my life, I say, God is beautiful and he's faithful and he's good. It's the same language that I use in the place of worship. The language that I find in worship is the language I use in evangelism. And so I think if we cannot be worshipers, if we cannot become worshipers, we will never be evangelists. Mm. If we cannot become worshipers, we'll never succeed in family. If we can't become worshipers, we'll never be able to adequately make disciples or advance the kingdom or disciple nations. Or simply fulfill the Great Commission. And so it's really, I believe, a foundational truth and an assignment that God has given me in life and our ministry as a whole to really help cultivate or develop a culture of worship in the modern church that transcends just the music we listen to or the concerts that we go to.
That's so good. Now, I know you're going to be there, but tell me a little bit about more of the speakers that are also going to join you.
I am. So, you know, the idea for this thing actually came from the Oakland Raiders quarterback, Derek Carr.
Oh,
wow. He and I, we've been connected now, gosh, for 6 or 7 years. When he was back in college, he reached out to me and said, man, I'm playing football for my college and I'm thankful for the opportunity, but I really feel like in my spiritual walk, I'm kind of walking alone. Mm. And so he said, I would love to have somebody to lean on. And we got really joined and we've been walking together ever since. And he has a real heart for ministry. Even before he got into the NFL, he began to dream about how God might use him in ministry to really empower and equip people in their walks with Christ. And so because of that, I've been looking for opportunities to help get him into ministry situations. And I brought him with me maybe a year ago, early last year, to a men's conference I did in Michigan. And it was just a powerful time, men encountering God, reconciling relationships, men standing in the gap and asking the Lord to heal their marriages, to deliver them from addictions and all sorts of bondage. It just was an awesome time. And Derek called me about a week or two later and he said, man, I want to bring this to Fresno. Mm. And then during the ensuing months of discussion and prayer, God gave us the plan for the Altar Conference. And so that's really where it came from. But, So we have Derek Carr. He's going to be there. I obviously will be speaking. Francis Chan will be joining us. Corey Russell, Damon Thompson, Brian and Katie Torwall, Jeremy Riddle, Stephanie Gretzinger, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Nikki Mathis and Summit Sounds, Heidi Baker. I think that's about everybody. It's gonna just be an incredible time of worship and unity. People from different streams, different backgrounds, different generations coming together to simply stand on the common ground of the beauty and the worthiness of Jesus.
Amen. You know, that's a lineup where we haven't heard of any of those people, so I don't really know why we go out there. I think I've seen almost all of them speak or lead worship or do something, and the Holy Spirit really moves when people like this talk and they surrender their heart to the Lord. So tell me, what are you guys expecting from the Lord during this conference?
We are expecting, I mean, the momentum and the expectancy that we're already experiencing is it's unprecedented for me. I mean, it was an interesting thing. We've seen pastors, there actually was a group of pastors, a couple hundred pastors that decided, we don't want this, we don't want anything to do with this, we don't support it, and we're not going to tell the people in our church to support it either. And you know, obviously we can't make people like us or want what we're doing, but what has happened is that over the months that we've been investing in Fresno, and I've been going back to speak there, Derek has gone several times to speak, and what happened is that God has really just has caused them to put down their guard and to open their hearts to what he's wanting to do in their area. And so not only from people that were critical or skeptical at the beginning, but also from people from all walks of life, people in the business arena, you know, Raiders fans, people that aren't even born again are excited about this event. What is happening is that God is really putting a tremendous expectancy in the hearts of many thousands of people. And we expect to have nearly 15,000 people there us in the arena. And we are, I mean, the Bible says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. And so as we establish an altar that is built on God's praise, I really believe that building is going to become an on earth reflection of the heavenly throne room of God. Mm. I believe that sickness is going to lose its grip, that depression is going to lose its grip. I mean, I'm full of anticipation that anything that is illegal in God's throne room will become illegal in that building as we come together to worship, and that the order, the dream, the word, the intention of Yahweh is going to become manifest in the earth in a substantial way. I honestly believe that not only is God going to put on display a substantial and historic level of unity and just a glory in worship that has been rarely seen on the earth before, but I really believe that God is going to use what happens there at the altar as a model to the nations of the earth. One of the words that we've been believing from the beginning is that it's not just about Fresno. It's not about reaching Fresno for Jesus. It's about mobilizing Fresno to be able to reach the nations of the earth for Jesus. And so, I believe there are people in India, people in Australia, people in Canada, people in Brazil that need what God is going to do there in Fresno, that need to see that, because I believe it's going to give them permission to believe for bigger things than they ever thought were possible.
Amen. That actually leads well into my next question, is tell me a little bit about the prophetic words you guys had going into this.
Okay, so when we started, when we first got this idea, all right, we're going to do a stadium event in Fresno, California, I started saying, Fresno shall be saved, because that's what our friends, you know, Reinhard Bonnke, Ben Fitzgerald, the guys at Awakening Australia, Awakening Europe, Chris Overstreet, that's what these guys say, right, when they go to a place, America shall be saved, Europe shall be saved, Africa shall be saved, you know. And so I thought, Fresno, and it just didn't feel right, you know. And I went into it for the first couple of weeks thinking, all right, that'll be our hashtag, Fresno for Jesus, Fresno shall be saved. And it was like I could sort of feel God kind of just shaking his head at me, you know. And so eventually, and I remember the moment, I was laying in bed. It was just a couple of days after my wife had given birth to our youngest son, Carver. And I was laying in bed. She was still in the hospital. I was in bed with my two other boys. They wanted to sleep with me. So they're laying on either side of me. I'm laying in bed, and of course I can't sleep because my kids are just tossing and turning and being crazy. And
Like kids do.
like they do, yeah. They're 5 and 7 years old, so it's they're never calm. So I'm laying there, and God brought me back to an article that I'd read years ago in what must have been something like a Forbes magazine. And in that article, they talked about an experiment that was done in Fresno, California. The experiment was done by the Bank of America. Bank of America thought, we are going to create these cards, and these cards will have a $500 credit limit on them. And we're going to send them out to 60,000 random American citizens. So 1958, Bank of America creates what they call their Bank AmeriCard. They create this card, $500 credit limit, and they send them out unsolicited to 60,000 American citizens. But they think if this experiment fails, if it succeeds, we'll develop it into something. But if it fails, we have to make sure that we do it in a city that no one's ever going to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it in Fresno, California. It's a garbage town that nobody cares about, and no one's ever going to hear if this thing fails. So they released these cards, this Bank AmeriCard program, and it is such an overwhelming success that since that day in 1958, Bank of America has developed that program into what we now call Visa.
Yeah, I've heard of Visa.
They were right. I've got two of them in my wallet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the very first credit cards ever released on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, in America alone, we have racked up over $1 trillion in credit card debt.
Mm.
It has reshaped and transformed the economic landscape globally. And it started in Fresno, California.
Mm-hmm.
And when God brought me back there, he said, Maddie, if the system of this world, if Babylon, the system of this world, can sow a seed into the land of Fresno that can bear the fruit of captivity to the nations of the earth, then you have to believe that the kingdom of heaven can sow a seed into the land of Fresno that can bear the fruit of deliverance and freedom in the nations of the earth. And so that to us has been a word that we have really rallied around. That has been God's word to us, that it has happened before, that the world says, if you want to touch the world, if you want to change the world, you go for Los Angeles, New York, Paris, Sydney, places like this. But God says, you just give me Fresno and watch what I can do. And it may not be the biggest city, and it may not seem like the most influential city, but it has already happened that Fresno, California has changed the course of human history. And I believe if it's happened once in 1958, it can happen again in 2019.
That's so good. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Well, not fully switch, but talk to me about spiritual warfare. You mentioned at the beginning of this episode that we're declaring in California, which is one of the most liberal states, and continually faith is under attack there. Talk to me about the principalities you guys are fighting.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll tell you, I guess, from the outset, my approach to this is probably different than most of the people you would ask that question to.
That's all right.
But we have really sensed every time we've been there that there is really one prevailing stronghold. There's one prevailing spiritual authority that rests over Central California and really California as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spirit that you have probably heard of. It's called the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Because I read this old book one time that says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein.
Amen.
And so what I've found, man, in charismatic Christianity is that we love to develop and discuss and debate and dissect the strategies of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we do that is because we don't really believe that God has a strategy to defeat the devil.
Oh, that's good.
We are way more familiar with the enemy's strategies and tactics than we are Yahweh's strategies and tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is his only tactic is love. That's it. Love never fails. Love conquers all. And so this, you know, I could spend the next 2 hours talking to you about religious spirits that have been offended by what we're doing and demonic strongholds and that sort of thing. But the truth is that Yahweh has a plan.
Amen.
And if I were keeping my eyes locked on his eyes, one of my favorite examples of this is found in a movie, actually, in the Lord of the Rings, in the Hobbit series, the right at the beginning of the Battle of Five Armies, the third final movie in the Hobbit trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
In the scene when Smaug, the dragon, dies, the way that he dies is he's missing a scale. I don't know if you've seen it. He's missing a scale right over his heart, and he's only vulnerable in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that could pierce him in that place is a black steel arrow. And there's only one person that has a black steel arrow, one archer that has a black steel arrow. His name's Bard, and Bard the Bowman, and he has this arrow, and he's been prepared for this moment since decades earlier, and everybody's running. This dragon is breathing fire, knocking over buildings, killing people, destroying their city, and Bard the Bowman, he climbs to the top of this tower because he knows he's the only hope for this city.
Mm-hmm.
But Bard, as everybody else is running away, he's got a son who, instead of running away with everyone else, he finds his dad on the top of this tower, and he climbs up to the top of the tower. And they have this brief moment where Bard says, "You were supposed to run away." And the son said, "No, but I wanted to help you."
Mm.
And so the son comes to the father, and he says, "I just want to help you." And now, if this boy was anything like me, he probably, you know, he wanted to help the father. He'd have gone and grabbed a sword and tried to poke the dragon to death. And it would have got him killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't have the equipment. He didn't have the expertise. He didn't have the skills. He wasn't prepared for what he was facing.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't go chase the dragon down. He goes and chases the father down.
Oh, that's good.
And I think that has to be our strategy. We spend so much time chasing the dragon that we don't chase the father. And ultimately what ends up happening to this boy is the father's bow gets broken. And so he runs his string between two posts, and he positions his son in front of him, and he turns his son so that the son's back is facing the dragon, and the boy is looking right into his father's face.
Mm.
And then he sets the arrow on his son's shoulder to help him aim, and he pulls the arrow back. And then the dragon sees what he's up to, and he says, "Is that your son?" And he starts to just spew accusation and threats, and he says, "You're going to watch as I burn him alive and then devour the ash. He calls him a wretch, and he says, "How could you challenge me?" And he begins to charge at the father and the son. And the son hears this commotion, and he starts to turn around to look at the dragon like anybody would, anybody in their right mind would. The son starts to turn around and look at this dragon, and the father corrects him, and he says, "No, son, you look at me."
Mm.
And so he turns and he ignores the dragon, all of the sound, all the fury, all the commotion, all of the fire, everything that's happening behind him, all the threats and accusations. He ignores them all. And he turns and he just locks eyes with the father. And then the father says, "A little to the left." And the boy moves a little to the left, and the father pulls back the bow and he unleashes this arrow right into the heart of the dragon.
Mm.
And listen, I would never begin to claim that there's no dragon, that there's no threat. There's
mm-hmm.
no danger. There's no accusation. All of those things are real. There very, very literally is a battle happening for our souls. But I could spend my life chasing the dragon, or I could spend my life with my eyes locked into my father, trusting that even though I don't have the weapon, the weapon necessary, even though I don't have the skill necessary, the strength necessary, the experience necessary, my daddy does. And I'm going to keep my eyes locked on his. I'm going to ignore the threats and accusations behind me. And when he says a little to the left, I'm going to move a little to the left and trust that as I stay with my eyes locked on his, that he's going to position me to be used to launch an arrow into the heart of the dragon. And so that's really what the altar is about. It's about getting people to a point where they become more fixated and obsessed and captivated by the beauty of Jesus than by the injustice of cancer.
Mm.
They need to get more captivated with the beauty of Jesus than with the political climate. They need to get more captivated with the beauty of Jesus than with the spirit of poverty. And all of those things are things that we want to address. We want to reconcile. We want to fix those things, right? But we're not going to fix those things by chasing those things. We fix those things by getting lost in love with Jesus.
Amen. Number one, you're bringing the fire with the Hobbit. But number two, your nerd is showing a little bit, but that's all right. We like it over here. Now,
thank you.
We love what you guys are doing, and we're so thankful that you're willing to step out in faith as you guys put together this event. What would you say would be our next steps for our listeners?
Well, the listeners, I think they should buy a plane ticket and fly to Fresno. It's in just a couple of weeks now, April 5th and 6th, as mm-hmm. I said, of 2019. So we are coming up, and tickets are selling really fast. We are now in the last half of tickets that we have available. So if people, we really do expect it to sell out. Mm-hmm. And so if people want tickets, they ought to get them absolutely as soon as possible. I think that would probably be their next step, and really to just partner with us in prayer. If people want to give financially, it is a big step of faith. I personally have committed about $500,000 to this.
Oh, wow.
Endeavor. I don't have $500,000 to give. So, mm-hmm. the being able to get financial support, and even just the tickets are $20. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make it affordable and accessible to everybody. And so even just buying a ticket is a huge step in the right direction for us, a huge blessing. And so if people would just believe with us in faith that God would put on display to the world a unified church. Jesus in John 17 prays to the Father, and he says, "Father, I pray for all those who would believe in me, that they would be one just as you and I are one, mm-hmm. so that the world will know that I was sent by God."
Amen.
And it hangs the revelation of his lordship, the revelation of his identity, on our unity as a church. And we think it's going to be how anointed our preachers are, how big our church is, or, you know, how effective our outreach programs are. But Jesus says it is, and again, he says to his disciples, "The world will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another."
Mm-hmm.
So it is the unity in the church that will testify to an unbelieving world that there really is a God among us, that Jesus really is who he says he is. Man, we need your hearts. To anybody listening, to any listeners or supporters, we need your hearts, whatever that looks like, to stand with us in agreement. It may be prayer, maybe financial giving, it may be getting, you know, on a bus or a plane and coming out to Fresno, California, you know, filling your car with a bunch of friends and splitting gas money and road tripping out there to stand with us in agreement and to show an unbelieving world what a unified church really looks like.
I love it. Maddie, thank you so much for stopping by the podcast today. Where can listeners find you guys online, like if they want to look up the Altar Conference?
Yeah, we're on Instagram at the Altar Conference and Facebook at the Altar Conference as well. And so Instagram and Facebook, and then they can go to the Altar, ALTAR.org.
Excellent. Now, our favorite way to close out podcasts is to have the guest pray for our listeners. Can you do that for us today?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Father, we thank you that we cannot outdream you, that our biggest dreams pale in comparison to your intentions and to your purposes for our lives and for the world around us. Father, we thank you that as desperately as we want to see revival, you want to see revival even more.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, that as desperately as we want to see breakthrough in our lives and in our family and in community, you want to see breakthrough even more, Father. We thank you that our job is not to try to outdream you, but our job is to try to believe what it is that you have dreamed. Father, I thank you for every listener. I pray right now, God, for a blessing on their marriage. I pray for a blessing on their family. I pray for a blessing on their business, whatever it is that you've given them to do, Father. I ask that you would put grace, a special grace on them to do it with such excellence and integrity that their coworkers would say, "There's something different about you." What is it, Father? I pray for boldness to mark their life, for compassion to mark their life, God. I ask that they would never, ever again be so self-centered as to ignore the hurting people that you put in their path every day, God. But would you open our eyes to look through the lens of compassion and to love the people that you sent your son Jesus to die for. And Father, I thank you for your intention there in Fresno at the altar. And I just ask that you would continue to draw in the people that would that would be willing to stand with us and to believe for your big dream for California, for the United States, and for our generation. Father, be exalted. That is all we want, is that you would be glorified, God, that you would be glorified in our lives, that you'd be glorified in our meeting, that you'd be glorified in our nation in a historic way, Father. Be glorified, be lifted up, be magnified, and show the world the beauty that you've shown each of us, God. We bless you, we exalt you, we thank you in Jesus' victorious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maddie, for stopping by the show today, and thank you, listeners, for tuning into this interview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Green. I'm the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network and love our family here at Charisma. And I remember back in a lot of my days as a pastor and as a leader of students, as a dean and as a college professor for most of my life, I've seen people in times of need. I've tried to help them. Sometimes pastoral counseling can only go so far. We can only say so much, and there's times to turn to a professional. And I recognize those times often in the various stages of life. People just need a little extra help. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going to a doctor, getting medical attention, or folks just for reaching out and trying to talk to someone in a time of need. So I want to introduce you to some friends of ours that are sponsoring the Charisma News, and we're so thankful for that. But I want to talk to you from my heart about the importance of going and reaching out to people who are professional and know what they're doing and have and can give wise counsel. The name of the company is BetterHelp Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed, that's so important, licensed Christian counselors who share our faith, who will help you through whatever problem it is that you need to talk to someone about. You can begin a conversation whenever you're ready. You can do it by text or by phone or even on a secure video conference line right from your home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can just connect through any of the devices that are available. These counselors, the faithful counselors, share our faith and Christian values, and they have the experience, a professional experience, to help you with any of the issues that you want to chat about. They combine biblical wisdom with clinical expertise in mental health. Our counselors do their best to invite God into the conversation, and they help you to formulate an action plan that will address the challenges that all of their clients face. You know, the more private you think your problem is, I'm going to tell you as a pastor that it's pretty universal. The very deep problem you have is probably a universal problem. Other folks have it. So the goal of BetterHelp Faithful Counseling is to help your well-being, get you back to that mental state of peace and love and harmony so that you're going to feel mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. So I'm going to recommend you go to faithfulcounseling.com. Let me say it again, faithfulcounseling.com, and then put a slash Charisma News. I want you to do that. Don't forget that backslash because you'll get 10% off your first month, and that's important. We want you to note that you were listening to Charisma News, but they're going to reward you with a discount. So it's faithfulcounseling.com/Charisma News, and you'll have 10% off your first month. You'll be asked to fill out a questionnaire. That's just going to help you to assess your needs and help them to understand where you are at the moment. And they'll use that to match you up with the right counselor, not just the first available phone, but the right counselor. Again, faithfulcounseling.com/Charisma News. Now, I want to say a couple of things about what it's not. This is not a crisis line. This is not just a phone you pick up and just anyone's there to talk to you. These are licensed United States therapists across all 50 states. It's available worldwide. 4 communication modes. That means you can talk to them by text, by chat, by phone, and even video. It's all included. You can start communicating with someone. You can get help within 24 hours, under 24 hours, really. It's available on your desktop. It's on a mobile web. It's on an Android and iOS apps. You can schedule video and phone sessions. You can do that weekly if you care to. It really just depends on what the therapist thinks you need to do. And you'll talk it out. You'll agree to it. No one's going to twist your arm or tie you into a long-term contract. They're going to talk to you. It's easy to change counselors if you happen to connect with someone and you don't feel connected. They can help you by finding another counselor that maybe is able to talk to you on your terms. So I wanted you to make sure you understood that you can change counselors if you want to. They have broad expertise in their entire network of counselors, and they're going to be able to connect with you in a way that maybe someone locally can't do that. The broad counselor base is what's going to help you. Financial aid is available if you qualify. And I want to tell you, it's secure. You can trust them. They wouldn't be on this network You can trust them. They're convenient. They're professional. And they're affordable. And remember, you get 10% off your first month if you use this code, faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. I'm thankful for these folks. I'm thankful that a Christian ministry is available to help those of you who just need a little help talking through some issues. faithfulcounseling.com/charisma. Now back to the news.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.